We continue the Shir in Gemara. Gemara speaking about the case of Daniel, his friends, the son for the pest, Fishiun. Now the Gemara asks, interesting question. In the Nevi'im, books of the prophets, we have a Sefer called Ezra. Ezra's Sefer was one of the last Nevi'im. He is the one that brought the Jews out of the Golos of Bavel into Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Building the second Beis HaMikdash was through Ezra HaSefer. Plus, a lot of other takonas, customs that we have today, came from Ezra HaSefer. Now, he had friends. One was called Nehemiah, also a Navi. And Nehemiah is a Sefer in the Nevi'im, Ksuvim, called Ezra. There also is one that would seem to be called Nehemiah. You look at the Ksuvim today, you have Ezra and you have Nehemiah. Factually, there is no such Sefer. In truth, that Sefer is really called Ezra. Just like you have Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Alachim Aleph, Marachim Beis. Originally, that Sefer was called Ezra Aleph, first volume, Ezra Beis, the second volume. Although, the Sefer is all the words of Nehemiah, Nehemiah Navi. Today, we have it printed as Nehemiah. But in the time of the Gemara, there was no Sefer Nehemiah. In fact, even after the Gemara, Rashi Kodesh, there was Shas. There are probably half a dozen places in Shas where Rashi Kodesh quotes the Sefer Nehemiah and calls it Sefer Ezra, same as the Gemara does. Which means that the name Nehemiah was given to it at a later date. So, at least in the time of the Gemara asks this question, how come that Nehemiah Hanavi, Ezra's close friend, who worked so hard in building, leading the Jews and building the second Beis HaMikdash, and who was a Navi, and who spoke these words in the Navi, how come that all his words are not credited to him? There's no Sefer called Nehemiah. Every Navi has a Sefer for his name. Why not Nehemiah? And your answers are a few different answers, but one is that Nehemiah dared to speak against those who were greater than himself. One is the one that we're discussing now, Daniel. He spoke against Daniel, and because of that, he lost out on the covet of having his Sefer named after him. The Gemara asks now, how do we prove who is greater? Today we find, interestingly, there are many discussions and controversies about who is the biggest rabbi today. How do you determine today which rabbi is greater? Who was the leading rabbi of the generation? Who is the greatest scholar, the most learned Talmud Chacham? And every person today, it seems, smallest people today, are Mebinim. The most illiterate person today will state his opinion very strongly, very vehemently, and he knows who the biggest tzaddik or the biggest Talmud Chacham is. His Rebbe is the one, no one but. The fact, of course, is that it's very difficult to tell who is the biggest tzaddik, except those who are zecher to be close to the tzaddik emes. Otherwise, Amesazal says that if a person is in doubt, for example, we are told Benazal's famous words, that each person needs a Rebbe. He must have a Rebbe to help him to cure him. A person is sick. He has a physical ailment, then naturally he'll do everything in his power to cure himself. To the extent, as the Baal HaTanya says, the extent that when it comes to spending money, the Torah says you're supposed to give tzedakah 10%, and then if you're good, you'll give more than 10%. You'll give 20%. But more than 20% on your vazbeis. Do not squander your money even on tzedakah. 20% is sufficient for tzedakah. Regardless of how much you earn, that's the maximum amount expected of you, because if you squander more than that, you might find yourself lacking money, and then you have to go out and beg. You have to low degrade yourself where it's not proper. So what we're seeing from the Gemara is that 20% is the maximum amount. He says that this is speaking about normal cases. If you are a tzaddik, if you're very good, then 20% is all you should give. But if you know that you've committed certain sins, if you know that you're in a very low madrega, very low matzav, and you want to elevate yourself by doing mitzvahs, you want to go all out to cure yourself, then why should this be any less than a person who's ill? The Tanya says, budget yourself 20% for tzedakah. Budget yourself, for example, 25% of your earnings for rent. Figure that a week's salary should go for a month's rent approximately. Now, fine, these budgets go well, 10% medical expenses and so on. A person suddenly becomes very sick. He requires an operation, and it's a matter of life and death. Would this person honestly say, I can't afford the operation because my budget calls for a 10% medical expense and no more? So I'll have to just forget about this operation because it's above my budget. In truth, what would he do? He would spend everything he's got to save his life. There, because of selfishness, and deservedly so, because a person should do everything to save his life, to rescue himself from the sakana, this danger of dying, he'd even break mitzvahs to save a person's life. Surely, it's expected that a person would spend everything he has and even go into death in order to pay for cures for his physical ailment. By the same token, if a person is ill spiritually, he has done a lot of wrong, he's committed a lot of sins, he has dropped, he has wandered away from Hashem, and he needs help to get back. The Tanya says that tzedakah can cure an neshama that is ill. A person like that is not going to stop at 20%, the Tanya says. He needs this tzedakah to cure him. He'd give half of his money, but tzedakah, and even still more. A person like that could certainly give more than the prescribed amount. So therefore, the Benedel says now, a person who wants to cure himself, who needs a cure, goes to a doctor. If he's very sick, he goes to a specialist. If it's a matter of life and death, then he says, spare no expense. Give me the best doctor in the world because my life is at stake. Person who is ill, who is zecher to feel ill, ruchnius, who knows that he's not as religious as he should be, who knows that he's lacking in doing mitzvahs and serving Hashem, that person needs a doctor for his neshama. That doctor is a Rebbe, a Talmud Chacham, and a Tzaddik. The worse off a person is, ruchnius, the bigger the doctor that he needs. Abedal says a person should never say, I have a Rebbe who's a big Rebbe, and when I get to be as big as him, then I'll look for a still bigger Rebbe. He's big enough for me. This person knows he's that low. Don't be satisfied with the regular Rebbe. Go out, seek out the greatest Rebbe of all. Because if you are that sick spiritually, you need a specialist. You need the biggest doctor in the world. You need the Tzaddik Emes to drag you out of the depth of Gehenna which you're in now. Therefore, a person should seek all his life to find the Tzaddik Emes. And Wesnel says now, what if a person is looking for the Tzaddik Emes? He doesn't know who he is. He sees a lot of Tzaddikim around, and he can't determine, he's not zuch yet to differentiate, to discern, which one is the Tzaddik Emes. What should he do? Leave all of them? I'm not sure you're the Tzaddik Emes if I don't believe in you at all. That's the wrong attitude. Wesnel says, this is what the Gemara tells us, that if a person ever wanders away from civilization, he gets lost in the forest and the jungle, and he's lost for so long a time that he loses his perspective of time. He forgets what day of the week it is. So he doesn't know when it is Shabbos. How can this person keep the Shabbos, which is the most important of all mitzvahs? The Gemara says, in a case like that, you should keep the Shabbos every day of the week. 6 days completely. 6 days is close to Shabbos as possible, and the seventh day completely. Which means that each day should be like Shabbos to him, unless it's a matter of emergency. Each day should figure as Shabbos until he's zecher to get out of this jungle and come back to civilization. Now, the same thing to a person who was lost in this jungle, this maze where he cannot detect, he cannot see the truth. He cannot tell which is the Tzaddik Emes. So become close, being a scattered to every one of the Tzaddikim. Consider each one like a Shabbos. As Lady Kodesh says that the Tzaddik is called the Shabbos. Unto Shabbos the Pulayemi. Each tzaddik should be like a Shabbos to him. Observe this, respect this one, respect this Shabbos, this tzaddik, until you are zechut to come to real civilization, to real yediyah, to real chachmah, to matregah, where you can recognize the tzaddik emes, then you know who the real Shabbos is. Until then, what is definite is that a person should never muck any Talmud Chacham at all. This one is a Hasidic Rebbe, this one is a Mishnagdish and a Shishiva. They are all tzaddikim, they are all tzaddikim. Respect every one of them. Because that's the first rule, is that a Chedetz Kodmer Hoteda. When you zechut to arrive at a point where you can detect which is the tzaddik emes, be closer to that one, but do not minimize their covered for the others. In this case, we come now to question the Gemara. We say that Nehemiah spoke in a sense, a derogatory manner about Daniel, who was his superior. Gemara asks, all right, we have a statement that Daniel is greater. How can we tell, what proof do we have that Daniel is greater than Nehemiah? The Gemara answers that in Daniel, we have the Sefer Daniel. Daniel tells about a mother, a vision that he had once. In this vision, he tells that he saw a figure of a man, but a very unusual type of figure. Person whose eyes blazed like torches. Person who's dressed with a girded himself, the belt of paws. Paws is that red type of gold. The Gemara says that in all creation there's only two little drops of it. Person whose arms and legs were a bright, shiny copper. Very strange apparition. And his voice was like the roar of the multitude, large crowds. And he was so filled with awe and fear that he fell forward on his face. He couldn't face him. But Daniel says that when I saw this vision, I saw him. This was an angel, a sar, the angel of spoken about the future of Persia, Paras, who ruled the world at that time. He came to give him this prediction. I saw this vision, and the ones with me did not see him. They became frightened, and they ran, they hid, but they did not see what I saw, which proves that Daniel was greater and holier than those three. Who were those three? The Gemara says the three Leviim, three prophets, Chagi, Zechariah, Malachi, though they were prophets. Daniel was not a prophet. Daniel had Ruach HaKodesh, but Ruach HaKodesh is on a lower degree than Nevuah. Nevuah comes from the next to the last Sfides, Netzach and Hoed, and Ruach HaKodesh comes from Malchus. So he was lower than them, they were Nevi'im, and yet he saw this vision and they did not, which means that he was greater even than Nevi'im. Proves he was greater, so that it was then greater than Nehemiah too. This proves he was greater than Nehemiah, therefore Nehemiah, having said something degrading about Daniel, lost the opportunity to have this sefer named after him. Gemara asks, how come that if these three Leviim did not see this vision, this very awesome sight, how come that they became frightened? They ran. They didn't see what was there to run about. Why become frightened? The Gemara answers that each person has a guardian angel in heaven. His mazel is called. Mazel is luck, his angel in heaven. And that's like a subconscious feeling. This subconscious, heavenly subconscious in a person, at times, a person without reason, physically he cannot give an account for it, but suddenly he's frightened. He doesn't understand why he's overcome with fright. It's because though he himself did not see anything to become frightened about, but his muzzle, his subconscious, saw, subconscious detected something which suddenly frightened him. He's filled with a fright and a fear momentarily. This is due to his subconscious. This is why these three Leviim, though they did not see the vision, they still became frightened. Yoras says, fine, what happens? Is there any advice to a person like that? A person who was suddenly filled with a fright, a fear, unaccountably, is there any takona for it. What can he do about it? Yomar says the best takona is if he would say Kriya Shema. This is something that we rarely do now. Something happens of fright, and to start saying Kriya Shema all of a sudden in the middle of the day, it's difficult to go that far. Although I noticed when I came closer to the SYs, that whenever we're riding in a car, they get close to an accident, right away you hear Shema Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And ready with that Kriya Shema, a moment's notice. But the Gemara says, of course, this is speaking about a case where it's the muzzle, this heavenly power within the person that sees it, not just because he has a mouse go past, and therefore he's got to say Shema Yisrael. But what if this really happened? The Gemara says, if it really happened that he became frightened, there was something which his muzzle saw, what should he do to allay that fright, to say Kriya Shema? What if he's in a spot in the middle of the street where there's dirt around, where there's filth, places unclean, not fit to say Kriya Shema? The Gemara says he should say these words, easily to ve'tabcha shmeila minoi. Shmei is the goats at the slaughterhouse are fatter than I am. What does that mean? We usually say that a person is the goat. He's the victim of a prank, of a joke, or he's the one that falls victim to anything. So we speak about this evil spirit coming to attack. We say to the evil spirit, there's a goat in the slaughterhouse. If you want a victim, he's fatter than I am. Take somebody who's solid, big. Go after this goat rather than me. But this is not meant in jest. This is a very serious statement of Gemara, and it is good for a person to know these words by heart, easy to be takosh made him inoy, and hope that he never has to use it. That's insurance. But sometime before you finish the sentence, the goat is the person himself. So it's best to be mispowel, not to come to any takola. We daven for that every single day to avoid atashola pegada. Any kind of an unpleasant experience should be avoided, could be avoided through tefillah, which is the cure before the tzara comes. The Gemara says that there is a pasuk in the Torah, Yishayahu Navi, Lamarbe Armisa Ulasholim En Kates. It's a pasuk which means that one Marbe Misra, one who takes upon himself the ruling power, the reigning power of the king. In other words, a person who accepts the fear of Hashem, that accepts the ruling, the royalty of Hashem over him constantly. One who does it in its complete form. One who's a sholem, solid yira shemayim. Now this pasuk, the marbe, the mem of marbe, is a letter in the middle of the word, should be a regular mem. In this case, the Torah writes this mem with a final mem instead of a regular mem. Final mem means something special. According to the Tikkuni Zohar, final mem closes in the mem, although the mem itself, still, the letter mem has a very special quality about it. As Lady Kodesh, letter mem stands for the mem, the 40 days of the Torah. Why the letter mem? Because the mem written properly, there's a letter chaf and a vav attached to it. Chaf vav 26 is Hashem's name. Yudkevav kizmat yachaf vav. But when you have the letter mem, where this, that little open point in the bottom and becomes closed up, the chaf and the vav closed, you have four sides to it. This becomes known as the arboim mabina, the Sfina of Bina, which is way up above higher. There's a long discussion of the Tikkun HaZohar about this. This is not the time for it. This pus is brought many times in the Zohar Kodesh to show this. The Marbe refers to the highest Sfina. Here the Gemara goes into plain pshat, the question of what is meant by this pusik and why is this mem closed? Your answers, something very unusual. Remember that we spoke about the fact that we are awaiting and davening for the coming of Mashiach. When is Mashiach coming? Well, we are willing to wager, to bet up to our lives that Mashiach is coming tonight. Why? Because we believe that as certain as it is nighttime now, Mashiach will come tonight. If we said the same thing last night, we're not fazed by it. Im kol ze achakeloi. Despite the fact that we believed this implicitly last night, and we were disappointed, we seemed to be let down, it wasn't because Mashiach didn't come last night. Mashiach was coming, he was ready, but we did not accept him properly. We didn't have the right degree of emunah, the right amount of tefillah, and therefore he was delayed. Tonight, we have that proper degree of emunah and tefillah, we will see Mashiach tonight. The time for Mashiach's coming is tonight. The time for Mashiach's coming is always imminent, depending upon the reception he gets from the Jews. Now, the coming of Mashiach is something that every Jew, at least who has a degree of emunah, waits for, hopes for, lives for. There are great tzaddikim who lived all their lives without being Masiach Das for a moment. They never let this thought slip their minds. There's always the hope that Mashiach is coming now. However, there were times, very sadly, the history, when false pretenders rose up and claimed themselves to be Mashiach. This happened a number of times in past history. We discussed last week the case of Bar Kuziva, who was a very powerful general among the Jews, was very strong and very victorious in his battles, to the extent that even the greatest tzaddikim, some of them fell for the thought, the error, that he was Mashiach. 2.5 years, Rabbi Akiva, the greatest of the rabbis of the Gemara, was under the impression, the Shalmi says, that he was Mashiach. So it could happen that people could be misled, even the greatest of people. In recent generations, we find that the Poskim, the greatest of the Poskim, were misled to a point where they actually, these are leading rabbis of these recent generations, were misled to believe that Mashiach had come. A certain leader. And of course, this is partially due to different opinions mentioned among the Rishonim of what happens when Mashiach comes. Will it be in a normal manner? We'll suddenly find that one Jew among the Jews is Mashiach, or will it be with fanfare? Will it be by a series of miracles that defy nature, bright flashes in the sky, thunder and so on, where in that Mashiach will become revealed? Of course, we stated very emphatically that our belief is we follow the statement of the Zohar Kodesh and the Sefer Kabbalah that Mashiach come through a series of miracles and not from all channels. In this controversy, we believe implicitly in the words of the Sifrei Kabbalah, there will be miracles done, because just as there were miracles the time of leaving Mitzrayim, just like you may say some of Mitzrayim, just like the days we left Mitzrayim, there were such miracles then, so too will be miracles when Mashiach comes, and many more times so. And therefore, the coming of Mashiach is something that those who have that emunah cannot be misled into thinking that Mashiach is here suddenly. You don't see this miracle. Abinadel says that a person who will be in the deepest recess, the deepest tunnel on earth, it could be 6 kilometers down underneath the earth, when Mashiach comes, and he'd be in the dark there, he'll know Mashiach came, because he'll feel that miracle, he'll feel that sudden burst, the penetrating feeling of simcha in his heart. It'll be so overpowering that nothing normal, nothing natural can compare to it. In this case, we come now to a point where the amazing statement that we had very coincidentally, and our other shiurim, we learn shiurim and Novi, Hebrew history, we're at the point of the story about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. By coincidence, for the Gemara here discusses the same case of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the same era. And as you recall, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a very holy tzaddik, one of the greatest tzaddikim in the family of David HaMelech. And at his time, everyone was learned in the study of Tehillim, his three miracles with Sancheidev, so that he was so great a tzaddik that there was express desire and he be considered Mashiach. Whose desire was this? Hashem himself. Yoras says that Hashem himself decided that he would make Hezkiah HaMelech Mashiach and make Sancheriv, the one who came to besiege the city of Yerushalayim, make him Gog u'Magog. Gog meaning the king, Magog his country. Let this be the battle of Gog u'Magog, the coming of Mashiach. Against this, the Malachim rose up to argue this point. And of course, the Amisenus Shel Hashem, we see the Kaviyachol, the humbleness of Hashem. But he listens to his court. Court means the heavenly court of angels, even the Midas Hadin, even the evil angel, Malacham Avos. These rose up against Hezkiah HaMelech with a claim. Now, they could not say he wasn't good. That claim would be discounted completely. So what did they say? They said to Hashem, it's not right to consider Hezkiah HaMelech to make him the Moshiach, because before him, as great as he is before him, there was a king, David HaMelech, who was definitely greater than him. And if you did not make David HaMelech Moshiach at that time, then surely it is not right, it is not fair, to make Hezkiah HaMelech Mashiach now. At that point, there was an agreement in heaven not to fulfill this desire, and so we are left still waiting for Mashiach to come. Now, we're left waiting for Mashiach to come means that a lot has passed since then. Very much has transpired. We had the first Golus, and then we had the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction by the kingdom of Edom, Romans. And this is the Pasuk mentioned in the Navi 2. She'ar Melech, where the Pasuk says that the Neshamas in heaven came to Duma, the guardian of Gehenna. They were suffering there just as well as the Jews suffer on earth. And they said to this Melech in heaven, you know the future, because angels are close to the Parguda, Achiria Pargud, they close enough to Hashem to hear the predictions of the future. And they said to him, Shemne, the guardian, Mami Layla. Mami Layla, what about this night? Sherami Lail, what about this evening? Lail is the first half of the night until Hatzais, or Layla the second half. What about this night, this darkness, this one darkness, another darkness? So the Navi says, O my Shemeri, Shemen, the guardian asked, Malach answered, Asa Beke Vigam Laila, that there will come morning. Now this was said at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. This dark night, this destruction, this Churban, there will come morning light. But Asa Beke Vigam Laila, there will also follow night after that morning, which means that even though that light will come, you will have a second Beis HaMikdash. It will only be temporary. And then will come a night, and after that night, I cannot say anything about a morning. There's no morning after that night, because that will be a long Golus. There's no set time for that Golus. The second exile, what we're in now, for close to 2,000 years, no time is set for it. I can only tell you, he said, in Tevayim Boyu, that if you want that Golus to end, it will not end through time. It will end through Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. Those three, we mentioned last time, the words of the Ezel says, Zeis Yavai Adonai Kodesh. You want Adonai Kohen to come back to the Beis HaMikdash. You want the Kohanim to work, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash that is rebuilt. You want that Bezeis, it's only Bezeis, with Zeis. You must have these three items, Tshuva, which is Tzayim, fast, Tfila, which is Kail, the voice, and Tzedakah, which is Mumain. Tzayim is 136, Kail is 136, Mumain is 136, which means they are all three of equal value, 33 1/3% of the necessity to get what? To get this Bezois. Zaisus 408, the combination of these three, 136 times three, Zaisus, if you have all three, Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah, then you have Yovei Adonai HaKadosh. You'll be assured that the Geula will then come. And that's what the Navi said now, that the Geula can come. The Geula for this long dot, right, will come only through Tshuva and Tefillah. Come to Hashem, do Tshuva, pray to Him, return to Hashem, you will then have the dark night come to an end. We should be zecha to fulfill this advice of the Navi, our time. Avivar goes off on a side tangent for a moment, an interesting point, as is the custom of the Gemara to go into side items momentarily because they mention a certain rabbi's name and they then bring other statements by this rabbi. Here the Gemara speaks about the case of Yisrael, who was the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisrael, who was a ger, he converted. Comparably, he was the pope at that time. He lived in Midian and also spent time in Egypt, Mitzrayim. He spent a lot of time there as an official of a government. He was one of the three top advisors of King Peleg. Now, despite this, Yisrael was zeche to marry off his daughter to Moshe Rabbeinu, plus it was zecha too, amazingly, to have a parsha and a Torah called of his name. One of these sedras is called Yisrael, and which sedra? The one that deals with Matan Torah. When the Jews receive the Torah, that parsha is not called Moshe Rabbeinu, it's called Yisrael. Zayde Kodesh says that when Yisrael came, converted, left his Arena Zora, came close to Hashem, the Kiddush Hashem was so great. But because of this, all the Jews were zecha to receive the Torah. In other words, Rabbeinu stresses this point, that if you are zecha to see a person who's very far from religion, he's very evil, he's very steeped in the wrong type of life, and you work hard on influencing him, demikadiv him, bring him close to religion, you're performing a mitzvah that is so great, it's the highest kiddush Hashem, sanctifying, bringing kiddush Kaviyachon to the name of Hashem. Nothing satisfies heaven more than bringing those who are far away from Hashem back to Hashem. It's like a long-lost child being brought back to his father. Abinadol says, in that case then, if this is so precious and so valuable, imagine what an encouraging thought this is. What if the person says, I have to go out and look for a real Russia, a real wicked person, to bring him back. How do you find a Russia? It's hard to find one. Of course, not too hard. You have him floating around easily. Well, how do you contact them? How do you make contact and talk to them? They don't want to talk to me. Benilal says, here's a very simple answer. If you yourself feel that why go out and look for a Russia, I know myself how bad I am. I'm worse than most people out because I know my faults. So I have a Russia right in my own home, right with me in my room. Here's my chance to bring back to Hashem what Hashem wants. Hashem wants me. And I have time to talk to myself. I won't reject my own office. So sit down, talk to yourself, think this over, and say to yourself, I thought until now that Hashem doesn't want me. Because I was so bad, I committed such wrongs that Hashem threw me out. He expelled me. But I see now that I'm wrong. I see that I have reached a point where I am one of the most precious items in the entire world, because I am that one that can bring the biggest Kedusha, the biggest Kiddush Hashem, by my coming back to Hashem. So I found a treasure. Right here in my own heart, my heart, I found a treasure. I found a dark, stained, evil bit. Now this dark stain is the most precious item in existence, because this dark stain can develop the most beautiful gem. Just by coming back to Hashem and saying, Hashem, I'm back, I'm here, take me. And surprisingly, Hashem will say gladly, you've come back to me, forget about the past, it's all gone and forgiven. Don't even think about how much evil you committed before. Just as long as you turn one single turn, a quarter turn, 90-degree angle, come back to Hashem, you're accepted immediately. This is the inyan of a person being zecha to come back from the depths or from the very remotest corners on earth. This was the case of Yisrael, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was zechut to seal truth, and he came to the Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu, was zechut to become the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah tells us that he came to Matan Tenga, and the wording is Vayichad Yisra. Yisra was very happy. He rejoiced over all that Hashem had done to the Jews, because he heard what Hashem had done to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, and so on. So the Gemara says, Vayichad, means rejoice. But two rabbis, the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, interpret that differently. Rav says this means that Chad means very sharp. He performed an act of Mesidas Nefesh. He took a sharp knife at his age and performed the act of Gilus, converting himself by going through the operation of a Bris Milah. Going through a bris, that's a big sacrifice. It's with the greatness of Yisrael. Shmuel says, another statement which Rav agrees to, he says that Chad means sharp pains. He felt very sharp, penetrating pains when he heard all that had happened. He heard that Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, had such a downfall. This hurt him so deeply that he felt sharp pains all over. Why? Because he was a Jew now, but he had been a guy before. And deep down, he still felt for the goyim. The Gemara says, this shows that don't ever insult a guy in front of a convert, even if he's a son of a convert, 10 generations, will still feel sympathy to goyim. So be careful on what you say in front of a convert. This is what the Gemara says. To this, the Yadis Tavash, the Ogma Foshan, go into a long discussion on this, I hope we have time. Question, very serious question, very difficult one to understand. So we said that Yisrael was a great tzaddik. Yisrael was zechut to the special names that infer the existence of Kedusha within him. Yisrael converted the face of opposition by all the nations on earth. When he left his position as top pope of the world, he was practically stoned. He was expelled from all other nations, and he was hated by all. There was a lot of battle going against him and his family. Now, despite all this opposition, despite this harassment, he still maintained his position to remain steadfast and loyal to the Jewish religion. This was an act of a tzaddik, Mesidas Nefesh. How can we say that Yisrael, such Mesidas Nefesh, going through so much, would then feel badly about the fact that the Goyim were suffering? How could he feel badly over the fact that the Jews were successful? And especially since the Torah says, M'sanecha Hashem Esno, Hashem, I despise your enemies. So since he was now a Jew, he should have despised the Egyptians, who had hurt him so much too, rather than to feel sympathy for them. Plus the fact that, why would the Gemara say such a disgraceful word about Yisrael, who we do consider as a tzaddik? Teddy considers it tzaddik. The Pasha of the Teddy is written for him. The answer is, I got the 10 generations that we say, why 10 generations want to insult the guy? Because it takes 10 generations for an era to pass. Says in Pirkei Avos that for Adam Telech was 10 generations, a new era began. In order for that whole era to pass by, it takes 10. Here, back to the answer, why was Yisrael HaTzadik so, with such low feelings about the downfall of Egypt, about the success of the Jews? Because the Gemara says that a ger is to be accepted if he is sincere. He wants to come to the Jews and adopt the Jewish religion, accept him, but test him first. How do we test him? We test him by the time of his conversion. If at that time the Jews are in a very low matzav, they are being tormented, they're being persecuted by the nations on earth, and they are considered the lowest type of nation out. Time like this, when the entire United Nations has united against the Jews, the goy comes now to convert. That's a sign that he's very sincere. He wants it. But if at a time when the Jews are successful, they have conquered the world, like in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, then the Gemara says there were no Gerim at that time. The Goy came to convert then, they rejected him. There's no proof that you want it. You want it because of the COVID, the other. The real test is if the Jews are at a very low Madrega. Then a Goy comes, that Goy is to be commended. That's why Yisrael, who converted because he thought that the Jews were slaves in Egypt, the Jews were very low, they were paupers, they had no wealth at all. This was what he wanted, to prove his being a good ger, good convert. Now he came to see this matzav. Instead he found that the Jews had the Shlal Mitzrayim, the spoils of Egypt, they were wealthy, millionaires, every one of them, and that the Egyptians had been destroying the Red Sea, and that all the nations feared the Jews. This hurt him. To hear that the Egyptians had such a downfall, the Jews are so high, he felt badly because this might mean that he, as a ger, was not sincere. His conversion was not a real sincere one. That's what he felt badly about. Not that he felt any sympathy towards Egyptians, chas v'shalom, or that he lacked a true ahava to the Jews. He felt that this might reflect on him as a ger. That's why the Gemara says, to the credit of Yisrael, he felt these sharp pangs of pain over the fact that perhaps his gedus might be considered not pure. But in actuality, he was a pure ger, a pure convert, one who did bring Kiddush Hashem to heaven and to the Jews, because we said in time when all the Jews stood at Har Sinai, and they had to receive the Torah could not be given, despite the holiness of Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Jews combined, until that Tzchelgala came from far. Yisrael came. Yishma, he heard. He heard means that he accepted. Then this was so big a Kiddush Hashem that there was enough to send the Torah down to earth. And again, this is the lesson for every single Jew, to know that there is no Yish whatsoever. A Jew ever feels low and depressed, know that this depressive feeling is the greatest sin possible. Menazel describes this as the original poisonous bite of the serpent, the nochash. The nochash bites physically, it's fatal. When the spiritual nochash, the satan, bites, what is that bite? It injects a feeling of depressiveness, sadness into a person. This is a fatal feeling to the neshama. At no time is a Jew ever justified in feeling sad. Even if he is in the lowest madrega possible, even if he has committed the worst sin possible, because at this lowest point, he is still accepted back by Hashem. In fact, more so than anyone else. If he turns around and does a mitzvah, you should know his mitzvah is worth more in the eyes of Hashem than the biggest tzaddik. So certainly, these words of encouragement should enable him to draw himself up, to elevate himself, to rise up, to return to Hashem, to be zechut to be mechadesh shemini gekedem. We should be zechut to have this true emunah in the words of the tzaddikim, the words of the tzaddik emes, to bring ourselves back to Hashem with true and complete tshuva. That's the chus we should be zechut to see with our eyes, the kaniyah Mashiach.